You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, hot news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics that we want to go over with you in this show. One is obviously a big deal in the sports sampler that we're going to get to in just a couple of minutes. But before we delve into all the topics at hand, we'd like to do a little recap as to what we've been up to since our last show. So, Mike, how have you been? What's up?
I've been good. Good. This weekend, I actually got a chance to go to the Philadelphia Auto Show, which I've never been to before.
There you go.
It was a really fun time. It was the first, so the only experience I've had with car shows or auto shows in the past is Ambler has an auto show.
The local Ambler car show. Come see the 1996 Ford Bronco.
That's basically what it is. Everybody trots out there.
Here is a 1979 Pinto.
Basically, the most exotic thing I've ever seen at an Ambler car show was a Dodge Viper.
Whoa.
But usually people bring out their tricked out Corvettes, and that's just it. It's just Corvettes just all the way down the street. And then they have
Corvette town.
It's Corvette town. And then they have a Cavity Busters truck or car. It's like it's like a Ghostbusters. I think so.
Dr. Brennan's Ghostbusters or Cavity Busters tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because every now and then I see it in the Phillies commercial banners.
Yeah, well, that
Cavity Busters.
That comes to that comes to Ambler. So that's the only experience I've had with car shows in the past.
Excitement here in Ambler.
I know. It's exciting times. So compared to that, the Philadelphia Auto Show was amazing. So they have all the new production vehicles from all the major brands. And, you know, you can walk around and see what's new and see all the new tech and interiors they have and get to sit in the cars. And, you know, it's very much like a, I guess, like going to a dealership and sitting in the car and kicking the tires and talking to the people. But then they have, you know, other things that you don't see normally. They have a big exhibit of historic cars, which is really cool. They also have exotic cars. They had like the McLarens. They had Bentleys, Rolls Royce. Lamborghinis, really cool exotic cars. But then they also had movie cars. I got to see the DeLorean from Back to the Future. I got to see the Batmobile from the 1960s Batman.
Yeah, see, that's what I liked about
that
it. Was,
that was the best part
was
of it.
You didn't see the one, the current ones. You saw the old ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Adam West in style.
Yes, it was really cool to see the old Batmobile. It looked... I don't know what they were thinking with the car. It was just a really awkward-looking car.
What do you mean? It's perfect for crime fighting.
I guess. I don't know.
It's as big as a boat in case, you know.
It is very big. It is very big.
In case he has to go swimming.
Of course. Yeah, you never know. They also had...
Or surfing. He has to go surfing.
From the famous surfing episode where... doesn't the Joker win the surfing contest?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite episode.
That was one of the biggest Batman hits ever.
Yeah.
The surfing contest.
it's a real episode,
folks. It is a real episode. And Batman gets out the shark repellent. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There were a lot of drugs in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Batman was probably on a few of them.
Yes.
A shark repellent, like manta ray repellent for some reason.
Yeah. Right next to his bat acid.
Bat acid. It was a strange...
Robin, I'm seeing incredible things! Alternate universes!
Robin, hand me my bat drugs!
Holy Munchies, Batman!
Holy Munchies, Batman!
Oh, yeah. 60s Batman.
It was a magic...
I love it when that comes on Sunday morning. I will sit and watch it.
I've never seen a 60s era Batman,
unfortunately. Oh, you should. It comes on, like, early, like at, like, 8 o'clock on Sunday,
that's
Saturday
too
and Sunday.
Early to be up on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, preferably not. But sometimes, you know, you can't go back to sleep or something.
Sometimes you just had a really late night and just eclipses into the next morning.
Yeah,
you just, is that what it is?
You power bomb right through it. Yeah, it's great.
Oh,
but why do you think
anyway,
I do the 24-hour game show marathon? I'm used to it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so I got to see all the cool movie cars, and they had, of course, they had what they call the dub show, where they have all the tricked out, you know, tuner cars, and people had like crazy stereo systems, and you could feel like your whole body rattling as you're walking by.
Yeah, I love
that. That was pretty cool. I was starting to get a headache in there, though, because it was really, really loud. But it was a great time. It was a lot of fun to see all the cars, to see all the different cars that I'll never be able to afford. it was right there in the convention center, you know, right there in, you know, next to the Reading Terminal Market and the train station. So it was easy to get to. It was perfect. It was cheap. I highly recommend everybody goes to check out the Philadelphia Auto Show. It was a lot of fun.
There you go.
There is one event, though, that I didn't get to try that I was really disappointed in. They have an indoor track for Jeeps, where you get, it's like simulated off-road. Like they build this huge hill that you can drive up and over, and they have this one area where you can drive on like a 45-degree angle and then like go over like bumps and stuff. And the line was huge. It was like wrapped around the entire track. So the weight was incredible. But it looked so like a lot of fun to drive this Jeep through this like little obstacle course.
Wow.
I would never want to do that. I'd be worried of like plowing through the barricade and just like killing people.
Yeah.
You know? Or I'd be like the idiot to roll it over. You know, going on like the 45-degree angle.
You're
going to
mess it up, Mike.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that and saying that's awesome, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But no, it was a really good time. First time there, it was a lot of fun. Highly recommend it.
Funny story about a Jeep.
Uh-oh.
Jeep show.
Okay.
I actually had to go to a Jeep show for
specifically a Jeep show?
Yeah, for MMR for the promotions team, because one of our DJs, Jackson, has his own Jackson Jeep Club, and they have they have gatherings, and you know, it's an enthusiast club, you know, you all get together, you show off your Jeep and everything. But like, I knew I just instantly didn't belong, because I go up to one of the Jeeps and I'm like, you don't have a door there. And the guy just looks at him. He's like, yeah, I took the door off. And I'm like, why'd you do that? And he's like, oh, you know, you can do it.
You can do it.
And I'm like, but why?
Why would you want to take the door off?
I like the safety of a door. And he's just like, I just wanted it. And I was like, okay. I instantly just did not connect.
You're just like, these are not my people.
Yeah. I was just like, I like safety.
Yeah.
I like air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, those are two big things for me in a car.
That's the one thing I don't get about Jeeps. And I know they're like wildly popular, obviously, because they had a huge exhibit at the auto show. And my younger cousin loves Jeeps. But I don't understand why they do that, why they take off the doors and they take off the top of the Jeep. They have this like flimsy tarp that covers it. It just doesn't seem very secure to me.
Yeah, but they like being in the outdoors. And
I guess it is it is an outdoorsy brand.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
So that makes sense. I don't know. It just doesn't click with me.
Yeah.
See, so I'm there looking at like this, like the luxury, the mid-sized luxury sedans. Like, oh, that's a very sensible Volvo. I could see myself buying. You know, that's me. You know, they have
are you a yuppie over there now?
Yeah. You know, they have like all the they have all the sports cars. I'm going, that's a really nice.
This interior is lovely.
That was me. That was me. You know, I'm like, yes. I could see myself in this Ford, isn't it? You know?
Well, I'm not quite that far, but if I get a car, it needs to have safety features and it needs to have air conditioning. Those are my two requirements.
And preferably doors.
Yeah, I like doors. That helps out.
My rule is if it has four wheels and it drives forward and backward, I'm good.
Okay.
And preferably somewhere to plug my phone in. That's the other thing that I want.
Okay. So trains out of the question.
Trains. No, sorry. I'm not going to be driving trains anywhere. Just pull up in my locomotive.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
But yeah, so that was a good time.
Mike at the auto show.
Yeah. I'm not exactly a car person, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
But
really either.
But it was fun. It's not really for car people, though. It's for people like that are looking to buy cars. A lot of it was just like a major indoor car dealership.
Well, yeah, they want you to buy their brand.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I was up to. What were you doing this weekend?
I caught up on some video games.
Ooh, that's a subject I know about. Unlike cars.
So first off, I tried Soma. You recommended me this game.
I've been recommending that for a while. I think it's, well, I don't care what I think. What do you think of the game?
Oh man, that is like BioShock meets it almost feels like another BioShock game.
It does. Because it does
a lot of
much.
It takes place underwater, and there's a lot of horror survival elements, but it's story-driven, and I like that. Because I think a good story always trumps good gameplay.
Oh, definitely. So, and it's a story. Now, you haven't beaten the game, right?
So not all the way. I'm almost there.
Right, so I have to be careful, but it's a story that sticks with you. It asks tough questions, and it's, you know, it's thought-provoking. It's got all those good, meaty narrative hooks that you like. You know, it's challenging, it's interesting, it's got the sci-fi elements, the horror elements. I thought it was a fantastic game. I played it a while ago. If you like BioShock or Outlast or games like that, then Soma is right up your alley.
Yeah, so that's been a game, a hidden gem, really, because I never really heard of it until you recommended it to me.
Yeah, so. I think it came out first on PC, and I don't know if a lot of people know about it because it didn't really get like the marketing hype that big games get.
Right,
but it's definitely one to check out.
So yeah, if you're looking for a nice horror game for yourself to, you know, maybe you're alone late at night, it's a perfect game.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah,
put on some headphones.
It's a good
mood game.
Yeah, it'll scare you. And then the other game that I caught up on was the Telltale version of Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm Batman. Which, by the way, I love Telltale. I love their choose-your-own-story
games. They're so good at what they do.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about translating something that's so action-driven like Batman? You know, because you played the Arkham series, right?
Yeah, and I love the Arkham series.
So how did you feel about making that transition from the action combo oriented fighting Batman game to the narrative, you know, choosing dialogue driven Batman game? How do you feel that they made that transition?
I think they did a very respectable job. I mean, it is a little bit of a culture shock because
it is.
You're used to Batman being, you know, kick ass, you know, I'm going to mash these buttons and kick some ass.
Yeah, you're dropping from the shadows and cracking skulls.
Yeah.
Not talking to people.
But the Telltale games really do a good spin on character development, story development. And actually, the best part, I think, of the whole series is Bruce, of the Telltale series, is Bruce Wayne.
Totally agree.
It really, like, all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, you almost forget, like, oh yeah, Batman's Bruce Wayne. Like, a lot of the story is Bruce Wayne's story, how he's trying to balance being Batman, and the story goes into his family, and it was really good. I A+ for Telltale on that one.
Yeah, I totally agree. I loved how they balanced the Bruce Wayne and the Batman part. Some parts were more interesting as Bruce Wayne. And some parts you get to choose. Do you want to go to this encounter as Bruce Wayne or as Batman? And I was always torn between those two because it's like, oh, you know, Batman could probably handle it easier, but it'd probably be better if I went as Bruce Wayne. So I think they did a fantastic job with that. And you're right. It is as much Bruce Wayne's story as it is Batman's story. And you really get a sense for what Bruce Wayne has to go through in trying to keep up that separation between his two selves.
Right.
Right, which I love.
If you haven't had a chance to play it, you should go play it. Especially if you're remotely a fan of the Batman series, it's a must play.
And if you're a fan of Telltale games, you should check it out too.
That's right. So
lots of video games for you.
Yeah, right. That's what I was catching up on. You know, it's the winter months, you know, it's cold. Yeah. There's not too many events happening, so.
Yeah. And what's great about those games is that they're shorter games. You can play both of them, you know,
under
8 hours.
I knocked the Batman series out on the weekend.
Yeah, it's short enough that you can finish it over the weekend, and Soma isn't much longer. So, they're great little games to like tide you over you know, if you have like a couple of days off or, you know, whatever.
Yep. But you know what? I feel like this is kind of the way it is whenever we don't have an exciting round of football to watch on Sunday, which was the case. We only had the Pro Bowl on Sunday, which there's no stakes on that one. That does lead into a good point, which is we have an exciting sports weekend coming up that we need to preview. So let's launch right into the first segment. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep, sports coming at you in your face. And it's time for our super exciting preview of golf.
No.
Yes.
No. What is this?
Yes. The wonderful world of the PGA.
No.
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 It's
January.
Oh.
There's no golf. It's winter out.
Oh, whoops,
the grass
sorry,
is all
sorry,
dead.
Sorry.
Why are you so eager to get to golf?
Sorry.
You really threw me for a loop there. I'm like, what is he playing? Is that golf music?
Yeah.
Is that what they play for golf?
Yeah, what they play for the Masters, yeah.
Oh, my God. I knew there was a reason I hated golf. What did I say last week about theme songs, right?
Well, sooner or later, we will get to golf.
No. Maybe one day this year. But for now, it's time for the Super Sports Sampler. It's all Super Bowl, all the time. That's right, folks. It's time to talk about the big one.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
Yes, it's time for...
Yeah, no golf. Super Bowl.
Sooner or later, we'll get the golf. But...
No, but not for now. Uh-uh. For now, we're talking about the Super Bowl.
Yes,
all
Super
Bowl
Super
talk
Bowl
in this edition of the Sports Sampler.
Yes, it's time. This is it. This is the big game coming up. On Sunday, I'm looking forward to this.
This is it's the biggest sporting event of the year.
Yep.
I don't care what anybody says, what sports you prefer. The Super Bowl, it has super in the title. Okay.
So therefore,
yeah.
Okay.
What's the World Series? Or the
it's the world!
Or the Stanley Cup? It's
Lord
just a,
Stanley!
It's just a dude's name. What's the NBA?
No, it's not. It's
the NBA. What's the NBA? It's just the NBA Finals. Oh.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Yeah. No, it's the Super Bowl.
Yes, but don't you diss on the other sports.
I'm dissing on them.
No.
Diss.
Bad Mike.
Diss to you, hockey.
Bad Mike.
Diss to you, baseball.
Heel, boy. Heel. All right.
I shall not heal, not when the Super Bowl is afoot.
Okay. So how should we tackle what you want to talk about? Because I know there's a poll here that you want to get to about the most disliked teams of the NFL.
Yeah.
Right before Super Bowl week. And number one is actually one of the teams playing in it, the Patriots.
Yeah. So this poll is a little dubious, first off. So this poll came out earlier this week. It was conducted by Public Policy Polling. And they took 378 NFL fans representative of the U.S. population. So first off, 378 is a very small sample size, but apparently they take that to be representative of the U.S. and its diverse population. So, you know, kind of dubious what we have to work here, but I want to get to the numbers. 21% of people said that they disliked the Patriots. Do you think this is just because they're in the Super Bowl this year, or do you really think that 20% of people hate the Patriots? That seems like a high...
So what, you're asking me over or under?
Sure, yeah, over under 20%.
I'd say over.
Do you think more than 20%
yeah.
of people hate the Patriots?
In the nation? Yeah, I would say so.
Really?
Because you forget, the Patriots are kind of... When people first think of the Patriots, they think of the whole Spygate, Deflategate.
20% of the people, though.
Yeah, one out of every five? I'd say there's more.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then not to mention... The Patriots have just taken a crap over every single team on the AFC.
What does that matter?
They've blocked
so
many...
Oh, so you mean the fan bases will be pissed.
They've blocked
okay.
so many teams from getting to the Super Bowl.
Okay. I guess from that perspective, yeah.
I mean, you have to look at it, the Jets, The Steelers.
Well, everybody in the division, first off.
And any team that Peyton Manning was on usually got crushed whenever they faced Brady in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd say more. I'd say more than 20%.
Wow. I think it's a little ridiculous that people hate the Patriots that much. I think it's a product of...
Well, you secretly love the Patriots.
I'm pretty open about my unabashed love for
isn't
the
that
Patriots.
Sweet?
No, other than the Eagles... No, here's the thing. I really admire the way that the Patriots conduct business, okay? So Bill Belichick put in a system that his players have completely bought into. It is the complete football package. He has this uncanny ability to take whatever players he has and develop a system and a play-calling scheme for those players, and they execute perfectly. What is this?
Your secret love music
My
for the
secret
Patriots.
Love music for the Patriots?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Patriots.
You think about that hoodie that Belichick wears.
Oh, that hoodie. Oh, it gets me hot under the collar. What? This is really saucy music.
Ooh, Brady in that hair.
It's just so suave. No, but you know what is suave? The way that they play football. The way that they play football. Every franchise, I think people hate the Patriots because they're jealous. They're jealous because they wish that their franchise could conduct business. Ooh, yeah. Now it's a love triangle. Oh, boy. This is like a heated, passionate romance novel.
It is.
The average NFL fan is like, oh, I hate the Patriots, but...
Frustration.
I secretly love the Patriots.
Jealousy.
I wish they could be like my franchise. Or my franchise could be like them, rather. No, but I mean, realistically, I think that every team should look to the Patriots and look at the way they conduct business. They have a really good scouting department. They have a really good coaching staff that creates systems that fit their players. You know, when you look at this team compared to other teams and the struggles that they've gone through, look at the Eagles wasting first-round picks on Marcus Smith and Nelson Aguilar. You don't see the Patriots doing that. You see the Patriots being... penalized first round picks. They lose their first round picks and they continue to find great talent. They're just really smart football people. They're really good at implementing their system. And I look at them and I say, that's how you run an NFL franchise. You don't lollygag around like the Jaguars. You don't, you know, look at it strictly as a money thing like the Eagles. You go out there, you build a great team and you win games. They've been to 7 Super Bowls. They are the best team in football this decade, this generation, undoubtedly. Yeah. And I think that the hate is a backlash to that. And I think it's a little bit ridiculous because I like the Patriots. I see nothing wrong with them. Okay. I see nothing wrong with the Patriots.
As you go and cuddle with your cutout of Brady.
I'm going to cuddle up to Emperor Palpatine. I'm going to become, I don't know, you got... Darth Sidious, you got Darth Vader. Is there a third in command?
There's only two there are.
There can only be two?
Yes, a master and an apprentice.
So I can't be one of the inner circle then.
Yeah.
That's disappointing. But that's all right. I want to get to some other interesting stats here. The second most disliked team is the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank God.
At
good.
19%.
Good.
Now that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I hate Dallas.
Yeah, everyone hates
and
Dallas.
Obviously, everybody thinks
and
exactly like me.
The worst part is it's not just the fact that we're Philadelphia fans. Everybody hates Cowboys fans because
they're so pompous.
Yeah, every season they start off with, "Oh, we're gonna go to the Super Bowl." Shut up! Shut up!
You did not go to the Super Bowl.
This year.
I've said this before. I can't stand Dallas fans because a lot of them are bandwagon fans.
Yep.
A lot of them are bandwagon fans. When you're born and raised in Philadelphia and you're like, oh, I'm a Dallas fan, get out of here. No, you're not. You're just doing that to piss off all the Eagles fans in the area. Am I right?
Probably.
Am I right or am I right?
Most of them do, yeah.
You know, it's just, I just dislike them very much. Very, very much.
Yep. So that's good. Cowboys coming in second.
Yeah. So another interesting statistic here is the most liked and the least liked quarterbacks. This is really odd. Tom Brady is the most popular quarterback among fans at 22%, but he's also the least popular at 24%. So you either hate him or you love him. Where do you fall on the Tom Brady spectrum? I know you hate the Patriots for some irrational reason. See, I love them irrationally. You hate them irrationally. But what do you think about Tom Brady?
I just respect him that he's won four Super Bowls.
I think he's the greatest quarterback
of
all time. Who stands up against him at this point?
Yeah, only Montana. That's
it. Yeah, basically, and only because of the number of Super Bowls.
If Brady pulls out rank number five, that's it.
It's going to be pretty damn hard to make an argument against him.
Right, that seals the deal.
You have the stats, you have the Super Bowls, you know, and he did it all as a sixth-round pick.
Right. So,
Before this era, the Patriots hadn't had many Super Bowl wins, any Super Bowl wins.
So the window, maybe closing on that argument. So I will concede that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that the Patriots were so disliked. I would not have thought the Patriots as the most disliked team. I would have said the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Patriots snuck ahead of the Cowboys.
Because here's why. The Patriots have won Super Bowls. The Dallas Cowboys have done jack S.
Yeah. I think that, you know, whatever team had won the most Super Bowl, if you had asked this, you know, if say Peyton Manning had won two in a row, and you had asked this after that, the most disliked team would have been whatever Peyton Manning was playing for. You know, I think
it's just because of number of Super Bowl wins?
I think it's just because of the number of Super Bowls.
Well, why not the Steelers then? The Steelers have six Super Bowl
They haven't
Bowl
won
wins.
Anything in several years.
But
they had a pitiful season this year.
But out of all the franchises, they have the most Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, but the NFL is very in the here and now.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, what have you done for me lately? You know, not for long league, you know? So I think it is in direct response to the fact that this is the seventh Super Bowl in 16 years and probably going to be the fifth win in 16 years.
Oh.
That's the only reason that people hate them.
He's already getting the
I'm
predictions.
Already getting the predictions.
Hold it. Yeah, well,
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, you got to cool your horses here. Because we're moving on to a segment that we do every year right before the Super Bowl. It's a favorite of mine and Mike's. Folks, it's time to go to Vegas and see what are the most crazy prop bets we can actually place bets on. Oh yeah, get the gambling music out. Here we go. Going downtown to Vegas. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
You feeling in the gambling mood?
I'm good. I'm strutting down to Vegas.
Yeah. Don't you love our gambling music?
I got the dice in one hand. I got the chips in the other hand. I don't know why I'm bringing my own dice to Vegas.
Yeah, they would
they're
going
to kick me out and my own chips.
Yeah, they're not going to let you
So maybe I'm not strutting to Vegas. Maybe I'm just strutting along the strip looking for, like, prostitutes or something. Who knows?
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic.
Keep up the good work, Mike.
I've got a crack team on it.
Yeah. So, Super Bowl 51 prop bets. These are bets that they offer in Vegas because Super Bowl night is known as the night where you can pretty much make a bet on anything. Anything that's possible that happens during the Super Bowl, Vegas probably has odds that you can actually take and you can bet on. So, here we go. Here's a classic. Who will the Super Bowl MVP thank first?
Oh, boy. What are the options? Do they have options?
Yep. Your options are fellow teammates, God. Those are both at 2-1. Then the coach, the owner, both of those at 9-1. Their family at 9-1. Also, for this year, I don't know why, if you're feeling adventurous, Donald Trump.
Oh, boy.
20-1.
I had a feeling that. Well, you know why they're saying that? Because Tom Brady was apparently friends with Donald Trump. And
Brady becomes the MVP.
I see the logic there. I see the logic there.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Some inside information there from Mike.
So it depends. All right. So let's assume that Tom Brady is going to be the Super Bowl MVP because I think he's the favorite.
Well, if you're going to go the Donald Trump route, yeah.
Well, I mean, because this is dependent on who the MVP is.
Right.
Right? So I'm assuming Tom Brady in this scenario. I'm going to say that he probably thanks, it's tough. Probably the owner, Robert Kraft.
Okay. Well, that would be 9-1 if you really believe it.
I believe it.
Well, go to Vegas. Place a bet.
Wait, who do you say? See, because
probably going to be God. They always
God, really?
They always
is Tom Brady religious?
They always do God or something.
Why? God's not on the field with them.
Yeah,
God's not suiting up.
That's always just like a first instinct, you know, or teammates.
It's tough.
Yeah,
I don't think Tom Brady would think God. Thank God.
But if you really think 9-1, I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
put a couple dollars down.
Here's a classic one that we love to do. What color will the liquid that gets
this.
Poured on the winning head coach be? The options are clear or water, green, yellow, orange. All of those are 3-1. Then it's red, 6-1, blue at 7-1, and the rare, purple, 12-1.
It's going to be orange.
Why do you think orange?
Because I don't see either team using blue or red.
Why not? For the Patriots? You don't think
no.
that's...
They're not going to have... Because the Patriots, see, this is why the Patriots are amazing, because they don't care about little things like that. Okay. They're totally football-focused. Okay. Sure. Only really pompous, self-centered teams like the Dallas Cowboys would have, like, silver and blue Gatorade, you know, or some BS. Okay. No, I it's probably going to be either clear or orange. I feel those are the two safe bets. What do you think?
I'll go with
purple.
You know what? I would take red. 6-1.
You take red?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that would be.
You think if the Falcons win, they might have red Gatorade?
I think both sides would have red.
Really?
Why not?
Well,
fruit
both
punch?
Of them have red colors in the uniform, I guess.
I think fruit punch is tasty Gatorade.
Is it fruit punch flavor?
I
the red one?
Yeah. I believe
it's
so.
It's not cherry.
Either way, I think red is tasty. The color red is tasty. Red.
Give me red.
Yeah.
What flavor do you want? Red.
Mmm.
Delicious red.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm going red.
All right.
The person that is going to sing the national anthem is Luke Bryan.
Okay.
The over-under for the U.S. national anthem, 2.5 minutes. Do you go over or under?
What genre does he sing? Is it country?
I think it's country, yeah.
Over. Way over. Way over.
Okay.
Country singers love that vibrato. They love it. They can't get enough of it. There's long, sustained notes with the vibrato.
And Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Over.
I'd say over, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. We're in agreement on that.
Did
one.
That just seem, like, really dismissive of country music? I was like, oh, my God.
All right. Speaking of...
This song just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Speaking of the national anthem, will Luke Bryan forget or omit a word from the U.S. national anthem? If you believe so, it is a 4-1 bet.
Not enough of a payoff.
Not enough?
No. Okay. I don't think he's going to forget a word. That very rarely happens, doesn't it? Think about all the sporting events, right? Four major league teams. They're competing every week. You got the national anthem at each and every one of them. Think about how many times people have forgotten the words. Not often. It seems like it's a lot because they it's always on the news.
Yeah, when it does happen, yeah.
But you think every week, the NFL has, what, 11 games? Once you factor in the bye week teams?
What, per week?
Per week, yeah. I think it's 11 to 12.
Because
you have teams on bye week, right?
Yeah, during the middle of the season.
Yeah. So like, well, 12, 13, whatever the number is, 12, 13, whatever. That's how many times they're singing the national anthem for 17 weeks straight. And how many times do you hear them talk about a missed note or a missed word? Very rarely.
Okay, fair enough.
I use logic when I gamble, Rich.
Good. Excellent. This is why I bring you here. I want to know what money I should bet on.
Okay.
All right.
Am I the official word on this?
Yeah, I need to know where I'm going to make my bets here.
Okay.
You think I do this for the podcast? No, I'm going to Vegas right after
you
this.
You have a suitcase of money sitting next to you.
I'm ready to go.
And a plane ticket.
I got it.
Why
is
the plane ticket one way, Rich?
Because I got to watch the game. I got to see who wins.
All right, go ahead. What's the next prop bet?
Well, this one I can't believe is a prop bet because I feel like Lady Gaga could just make a bet and make money. I don't know. But you can actually bet on what hair color Lady Gaga will sport during the halftime show.
Yeah, see, these ones always bug me because what's to stop her from finding out what the options are, dyeing your hair a certain color, and putting $1 million on that option?
Yeah.
Right? But anyway, what are the options?
All right, well, blonde is even money, so that's not really a payoff. Brown is 2-1.
Okay.
Green is 10-1. I don't know if you want to go green, go ahead.
No.
Pink is 15-1. Pure white. Classification, pure white, not like a strawberry
silver
blonde
or
pure white, also 15-1, blue 15-1, and then to round it off, purple or orange 20-1.
So they don't have an option for split between the team colors?
No. Wow, that's interesting.
I'm surprised that's not an option.
Yeah.
Because that would throw a lot of people off.
I guess if that happens, it's no bet. You just get your money back.
Probably. But they should have had an option for that, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a good point. Come on, Vegas, you're slipping here.
They're slacking here. I think Lady Gaga recently has been trending more towards the less pop and dance stuff and more towards the traditional. So she might appear, I think, probably in brown hair, like a more traditional color.
Okay.
What do you think? Because she's been trying to get into the jazz music and the classical music recently, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think she's going to come out with like orange or red hair. It's probably going to be like all white or brown.
Yeah, if I had to place a bet, I'd go brown.
Yeah. Now watch her come out in like hot pink spiked hair.
Purple. Yeah. Purple will be 20 to 1.
There you go. I'm surprised they don't have one with the team colors.
Yeah, you're right.
But anyway.
Also, another one for Lady Gaga. Will she wear an outfit that exposes her midriff? Specifically.
Wow, that's... There's some creepy people making...
Yeah, how do you do research on this?
Will she wear a meat dress again?
I've studied her the last 22 performances. She wears her midriff 20 out of the 22 times. I'm going with yes.
Vegas has way too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
So what was it? Will she wear an outfit that exposes her midriff?
Right.
Yeah, probably. I feel like that would be a safe bet.
Yep. And
is that what's favored?
Yeah, it is the favored bet, so you're not going to make much money if she does.
What are the odds?
Not very slim. Only even money on no, so not really worth your time. Yeah. Unless you're one of these obsessed people about Lady Gaga.
Does she call her fans monsters, little monsters or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's an interesting thing with 2016 being a year of big deaths in the music world.
Will someone die at the Super Bowl?
No. But which of these artists will Lady Gaga cover in honor of
Prince.
The dead celebrities?
Prince.
That's interesting you mentioned.
No, it's probably going to be Prince.
The favorite is David Bowie at 2 to 1.
Oh, I forgot about him. No, it's David Bowie.
Ooh,
it's David Bowie.
David Bowie's the favorite at 2 to 1. Then Prince at 3 to 1. Leonard Cohen at 4 to 1. George Michael at 5 to 1. And Eagles' Glenn Frey at 8 to 1.
It's not going to be the Eagles. Yeah. She doesn't sing that music.
Right.
Cohen, did he do like show tunes and stuff?
Cohen had the deep voice. He did Hallelujah.
Gosh. Yeah, it's really tough. They picked good artists. I think it's probably going to be something a little more poppy. That's why David Bowie and Prince are our favorite here. What do you think?
I think it's going to be Prince.
Yeah, something about...
Because you know what else? I don't think David Bowie did a Super Bowl, but Prince did.
Prince did, yeah. And I'm trying to think, like, what would she sing of David Bowie's? I just think Prince is more her style. So I think Prince.
Yeah, I would agree with that as
Although
well.
I would personally like to see David Bowie.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. All right, now let's move away from the halftime show. How many commercials will we see with Peyton Manning in it during the Super Bowl broadcast?
Is this over under?
Yeah, 2. Oh, I think I'd go over.
I think so, yeah.
Though, I don't know, how many times could you see Papa John or what else do they do? Nationwide?
Nationwide. All right, so one for each of those.
That's why it's specifically 2.
That's why it's specifically 2.
Because that counts as a push and you lose.
Now, he used to do Oreos with his brother.
I don't think he still does, though.
You don't think he still does? What if they make a reprisal?
Oh, well, then you go over. That's because remember, the line's 2.
The line's 2.
So you have to go over. If you go over, it has to be 3.
I think it's going to be over. I think he's going to make a cameo in another commercial.
So that's 3.
Yes.
You're calling for 3 commercials.
I think so.
Wow.
During normal football games, you see him at least 2 or 3 times a game.
All right, well, if you believe that, it's even money.
Because they could show like a Nationwide commercial twice or Papa John's commercial twice. Does that count or is it 3 separate ads?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Does it have to be, is it appearances or is it ads?
It says commercials.
Oh, that's tricky.
Yeah.
I still say it's over.
Okay, well.
What do you think?
If you believe so, it's even money.
So everybody thinks over.
You know what? I'd take a risk. Yeah, I'd go over on it. Why not? It's not like he has a shortage of sponsors.
Well, it's not going to be under 2. 1 commercial?
Just 1? Yeah, that seems short.
No. What if there's none?
Ooh, boy, that would
First off, that would be crazy because that's like basically impossible for the NFL to not have Peyton Manning around.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's also something interesting that you can bet on. How many pizzas will Domino's sell on Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, my gosh.
The line is 11.5 million pizzas.
I wouldn't even know where to begin. God, I don't know. Sure, over.
Sure. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Well, here's the thing. I have no basis for any sort of analysis on this, so I'm just going to say over. What do you think?
I think over.
Yeah.
Everyone loves pizza.
Everybody loves pizza.
Actually, that's the only way you make money is under.
Really?
So
they really think it's going to be over then.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. So if you really have a feeling under, even money.
I don't think so. There's no way.
Here you go. This is interesting. Will a streaker run out onto the field?
No.
During the game.
That's never... I don't remember that happening in my lifetime.
So not during Super Bowl.
No.
It has happened in regular NFL games.
The security is so tight, it's not going to happen.
Well, if you do believe it, it's a 10-to-1 bet. So, you know, put
10 bucks down.
Yeah, put 10 bucks down. Somebody's crazy enough to do it, you get 100 bucks back.
Yeah, why not? Not going to happen, but you might as well.
Yeah, why not? All right, starting to run out of time here. I wish we could go through all these because
there's a lot of them.
It's absolutely nuts. I can't believe it.
Isn't there one about Troy Aikman and how many times he's going to mention the Super Bowl? Did I imagine that?
I'm sure there's one of that. Will Johnny Manziel be arrested before Super Bowl weekend is over?
Oh, poor Johnny Manziel.
Hey, it's a 6-to-1 bet. You can make some money if you believe it's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
If you believe Johnny Manziel.
Is he going to be down there for the Super Bowl?
Yes, he is.
Then, yes, he will be arrested.
Well, there you go. Make a 6-to-1 bet.
If he's, like, sitting at home in, like, you know, his little ramshackle apartment, then no. If he's going to be down there in the middle of festivities, yeah, we'll probably be arrested.
All right, well, make a bet because that's a 6-to-1 odds.
He can't help himself.
All right, and...
what else we got? I'm loving these.
Yeah.
Give me a few more.
Let's go with... here we go. Let's do...
I just listened to this song the entire episode and just do prop bets. Yeah.
Will somebody say the phrase, Houston, we have a problem, during the live broadcast?
No. Because neither team is Houston. It wouldn't make any sense.
But it's in Houston.
I know it's in Houston, but why would they be saying, Houston, we have a problem?
Popular catchphrase.
No, I understand.
Sounds like something stupid Joe Buck would say.
Yeah. Oh, Houston. I would get it if Houston is in the Super Bowl and they're losing, then that's all they would say. Houston, we have a problem. But I don't think they're gonna say that. No. I like it. It's an interesting. It's a good creative prop bet. But no, probably not gonna happen. What do you think?
I think it could happen with Joe Buck.
With Joe Buck, you're counting on him being that corny.
He is corny. I'm really sad that he's broadcasting.
It's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I dislike the Cowboys, but I don't like Troy Aikman and the Joe Buck team.
Yeah.
First off, they're clones of each other.
They are.
Like, why do they love each other so much that they're trying to look exactly like each other?
I mean, we saw one playoff.
They were both orange and had the beard, and their hair was, like, combed in the same direction. It's like, really?
There was one.
You couldn't coordinate better?
There was one, Well, it was like a postseason video they did, like, to get ready for the game on Sunday night. And it was Troy Aikman and Joe Buck sitting next to a fireplace. Like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, are you guys out on a date? Like, what are you two doing?
It's date night with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Yeah. All right, last one. Last one. We're starting to run out of time here.
Yeah. We've been doing this for, like, 20 minutes.
Will Donald Trump tweet more than 5 times during the Super Bowl?
Does somebody criticize him?
Well, that's part of it.
Okay.
It's just, will Donald Trump tweet? So if somebody does, he could respond.
If somebody criticizes him, yes, over.
Well, guess what? Even money for a yes bet, so.
Really?
There you go. You can make some money there.
I don't think he's going to tweet more than 5 times unless somebody. Now, does it have to be about the Super Bowl or just in general?
In general.
Okay, yeah, more than 5.
All right. Well, there you go. That gives you an idea of all the crazy bets that you can actually make in Vegas. We do it every year. It's definitely one of the things we look forward to when we make our Super Bowl coverage. I wish we had enough time to go over all of them because they're really ridiculous.
I love prop bets. I think we should do this for every sporting event we talk about.
Well,
I just love them because they're so creative and so weird, and it gives you a chance to analyze weird things.
Yeah.
Like, will Lady Gaga show her midriff, or how many pizzas are being sold?
Yeah.
What color is the Gatorade?
Right.
You know?
So
sometimes you get tired of the legit analysis. You just want to analyze something stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like last year we talked about shoes, didn't we?
Yeah. That's why you come to the Chris Meanwhile podcast.
That's right. Not for sports analysis, but analysis of the prop bets about the halftime show performers' clothing choices.
That's right. So there you go. Head down to Vegas. You got a couple of days left before the game starts on Sunday. Head down to Vegas. Born to be alive.
My computer is magnetic.
Ooh,
nobody can see this, but my pen is attached to my computer screen. Look at this.
So glad Mike found out his computer is magnetic.
No, look at this. Are you seeing this?
Okay.
nobody can see what I'm talking about. I know.
All right.
Anyway.
With all the prop bets over.
You can't stop looking at it now.
So with all of the prop bets over and done with, I think it's time to actually get to our serious prediction to make. It's only one left. This is it. Who is going to win the Super Bowl?
And the super stressful music comes on.
Make your decision. Choose wisely, Mike. Who do you have in Super Bowl 51?
So I'm going with the Patriots.
No, really?
No, really. No. Well, okay. So here's my thing. The Patriots, again, on paper, are just one of the most complete teams this year in terms of offense, defense, passing yards, rushing yards, points allowed on defense. They've been excellent on both sides of the ball. The Falcons, while they do have one of the best offenses this year, from what I understand, they've been holding Julio Jones back a little bit in practice, a little banged up. But we saw how the Patriots handled Antonio Brown. We saw how they handled, who was that wide receiver for Houston, whose name I can't remember now? DeAndre Hopkins. They take number one receivers and they shut them down. They have this uncanny ability to call the perfect defense for the perfect moment. Bill Belichick has a history in defense. That's where he got his start as a coordinator. It's going to be a very high-scoring game, I think, but ultimately I think the Patriots are going to be able to edge out the Falcons. I don't see the Falcons as having the experience, the composure, or the defense to keep up with the Patriots. So I'm going Patriots.
Do you have a score?
30-27.
And
Patriots.
Who's your MVP?
MVP, Tom Brady.
Right.
If the Patriots win, Tom Brady. It can't be anybody else but Tom Brady.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that because I like the Patriots. I'm saying that because it would be historic what he's accomplished. So, what's your pick?
All right. Well, unfortunately,
are you going to disagree with me?
I am reluctantly not going to. The bottom line is that although this should be an awesome shootout, there should be great plays, there should be a lot of jaw-dropping moments, at the end of the day, I can't trust this Atlanta Falcons defense. They kind of got lucky with the Packers.
Yeah.
The Packers were really injured going in the NFC Championship game. They had been playing high quality football for 7 weeks straight. I think they kind of lucked into a very weak opponent in the NFC Championship game and just rolled into the Super Bowl. The Patriots, on the other hand, are just a well-oiled machine. Like you said, they've been shutting down top wide receivers almost every step of the way to the Super Bowl. And I think this week's going to be no different. I think they're going to be able to shut down Julio Jones. Though, I don't expect it to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a pretty close game.
It's going to be close.
The stars of the Falcons are going to be Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. I think they're really going to come through and keep this game close. But at the end of the day, I still think Belichick, the evil emperor is going to come out with a way to pull out the win. I say I say they pulled this one out 35-32.
Wow, that's very high.
Very high scoring game.
Well, they say it could be one of the highest scoring in the history of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm anticipating multiple touchdowns from each side.
Right. But to disagree, I don't think Tom Brady will get the MVP.
Really? Former Eagles cornerback Eric Rowe. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, damn it, Eric Rowe, you son of a bitch. Watch him be Super Bowl MVP. You're right.
I would be so mad.
You know what?
Realistically,
right. I'm gonna say,
two interceptions and like five tackles.
Right, he's gonna pull the game-winning interception. Yeah.
Interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
But I'm sorry, I just stole that from you. Seriously, though, who do you think is going to be MVP if not Brady? Because, I mean, if he wins a fifth.
Because I think he's going to need help from either Deion Lewis or Chris Hogan. Oh. I think one of those two guys are going to explode.
So you think like a breakout performance against the Steelers for one of them, like Chris Hogan had against the Steelers?
Right. I think either Hogan goes off or Deion Lewis goes off. You know? I don't think it can be all Tom Brady.
So that's interesting you say that, because I totally understand that. But the only thing going against that theory is that if one of them has a good game, that means Tom Brady's having an equally good game.
Not Deion Lewis.
But if it's Chris Hogan, then...
If he racks in two touchdowns and 100 yards receiving.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always tough to give it to a wide receiver because... usually the quarterback has the better stats, but wide receiver's doing really well. But I like that. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah. Or, damn it, it's going to be Eric Rowe.
Didn't Malcolm Butler have, like, the game-winning interception or something? Did he win MVP, or was it still Tom Brady that year?
Or are you talking about the year the Seahawks when
he... Yeah, where he had that final line? Yeah, that final interception.
It wasn't Malcolm? No, I think
Butler.
It was somebody else.
Butler. His last name was Butler, I think.
Oh, it was Butler?
I think. Anyway.
The point is,
Patriots are going to win.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there.
The score is going to be very high.
Yep.
Probably in the 60s combined.
Yeah. And, yeah. Unless something horrible goes wrong for the Patriots.
Watch it be a low-scoring game that the Falcons win and the MVP
7-3.
And the MVP is still Eric Rowe.
God damn it!
7-3. Falcons win. MVP is Eric Rowe.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Eric Rowe used to be on the Eagles.
He was a second round pick,
a cornerback.
And we traded him for like a fourth or a fifth round pick. And he's like, I think he's like nickelback for the Patriots. He's in the Super Bowl.
And he had the game winning interception against the Steelers.
Yeah. So good job, Eagles front office.
Great. All right. There you go. That's what a way to end our Super Bowl coverage. With pain and misery.
how else do you end the football season as an Eagles fan?
Yeah, remembering the stupid moves that the Eagles made to the Patriots.
Ugh.
I still can't believe you like the Patriots.
But that's why they should be respected, because they take those cast-offs and they make them amazing players. They just have this ability to see through the haze. You're getting tired of my admiration.
Yeah, okay, Belichick Jr. All right, we need to...
I would love to be Belichick Jr. Then I would have all the Super Bowl wins.
Let's move on. We have to wrap up the sports sampler, but don't go anywhere because we've got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still plenty more shows to come. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
An Alabama woman was completely unhurt even though she was run over by a train.
What? How's that possible?
According to Auburn police, 22-year-old Lindsay Horn fell asleep on railroad tracks.
But wait... what are the events preceding that? You're just walking down the street. You're like, I'm really tired. I think I'm going to take a nap on the railroad tracks.
It looks like a comfy spot.
It's like, yeah, all that gravel and wood and steel.
And iron.
Looks perfect.
Well, according to Auburn police, 22-year-old Lindsay Horn fell asleep on the railroad tracks. But when the train passed over her, she was apparently very low to the ground. And the train passed right over her without hitting her.
Wow.
So she also must have been a very small lady, too.
Yeah, she must have been, like, in between the rails, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. You might want to use the rail as a pillow, like they did in Inception.
Yeah, was she trying to be...
I'm waiting for a train, but I fell asleep. That should be how the movie goes.
Wouldn't that really throw a wrench into the whole limbo thing?
What happens
if you fall asleep in limbo while waiting for the train?
We're waiting for a train. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio is giving his whole speech. We're waiting for a train. We don't know where it'll take us. Hey, wake up over there! So failed Inception lady was taking a nap and the train passed over her.
Apparently you can survive getting run over by a train. Who knew?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike is proud that his Apple laptop is
a magnetic
attraction to his pen.
Because the lid has magnets in it, I guess, to keep it closed. And so the pen has metal on it, and it sticks to the screen. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Magnets.
I've never heard of magnets before.
So, there you go. Right before we jump back into our recording of the podcast, Mike is obsessed with magnets. I hope you're happy, Mike.
I am very happy. I'm ecstatic. This is the best thing that happened to me all week.
Okay. Well, I hope you can still pay attention to the entertainment entree coming up, because we've got a lot of things to cover, so let's launch right into it. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Oh, thank you very much, by the way.
I look great.
Yeah.
Is that sarcasm?
No, it wasn't.
You see, this is the thing with you. It's a talk show. Oh, you look great. Even though, look at me. Of course I don't look great. Look, I'm worse than last time. Last time we talked about getting old and losing my hair and distended testicles. And now it's 6 months later. So now it is worse because I'm getting fat again, which is... No, because, listen, right, I know it's not terrible. You're not going to see me on one of those documentaries yet, but it's a slippery slope, right? Do you know what I mean? It starts somewhere. You see, this is the problem. You think, oh, you're all right. But then you see those guys on documentaries and they're like 700 pounds. And I'm thinking, but when they got to 300 pounds, didn't they go, oh, this is a bit much? Do you know what I mean? It's not a surprise to become 700 pounds. You have to work at it every day. So when they were weighing themselves and they had to get the neighbour in to tell them what the scale said, wasn't that a clue? If you can't... I mean, my penis is small, but I can still see it. But when you can't... What I'm saying is... I'm putting on weight again because I'm eating too much. I'm not one of these people that makes excuses that says, oh, it's glandular. It's never glandular, yeah, right? But it's big bones. Yeah, big bones covered in meat and gravy. That's what gets people fat.
Maybe just have less calories or stop eating
no,
or
I'm
drinking.
No, I'm not going to stop eating and drinking. No, what's the point? What's the point in living longer if you're sober?
Stop.
especially these days, I want to be drunk all the time now. I just want to be drunk all the time.
There you go,
Ricky
folks.
Ricky Gervais. I love that guy. He's great.
He pretty much just took over his interview with Jimmy Fallon.
That was like the longest, most rambly story, but it was so captivating.
Jimmy Fallon only asked like two questions in that whole bit.
Yeah.
And from there, Ricky Gervais just took off.
That was great.
I love Ricky Gervais.
That was amazing. He made great points too.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, what's the point?
Yeah. What's the point? You know,
just enjoy life.
Eat rabbit food and not drink. Get the hell out of here.
Oh, salad and water. Oh, I can't think of a more boring lunch or dinner. You know,
like
no. Give me a bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah, we're two big guys.
Yeah.
But
we regularly talk about pizza and cheesesteaks on the podcast.
We just made a bet on pizzas in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so obviously you probably shouldn't take health advice from us. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? Screw it.
Hey, look, man, food tastes good. Look, eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I say. Eat, drink, and be merry. And that's what Ricky Gervais is saying.
That's right.
In addition to a lot of other things, but that was the part of it.
Yeah. So... yeah, own it if you're going to,
you
know, if you're going to eat, drink, and be merry.
That's right.
I always hate that when you're like at the workplace and you're eating lunch and someone is like eating nothing but a salad and they look at your meal and they're like, oh, how can you eat that?
Because it tastes good?
Yeah, because I like a burger or I like a sandwich.
I like to enjoy what I'm eating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just going to eat something just because I'm not going to have tofu because... oh, it's good for you. Like, no, I want to taste what I'm eating. I want to enjoy what I'm eating.
Yeah. You know, this also reminds me of a skit Bill Hicks used to do about smoking.
Okay.
And he would defend smoking. And he'd be like, yeah, they say it takes 5 years off of your life, but it's the years at the end. They suck anyway.
It's the years at the end.
They suck anyway. So go ahead. Live it up.
Yeah, live it up while you can, you know? I don't know about the smoking thing.
Yeah, we're very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Advocating very unhealthy practices. But
well,
you know
I'm just
what?
Telling people to eat bacon cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
I'm not telling them to smoke like a chimney.
No, but...
You know
what? But, do what you want.
Yeah, you do you. Eat, drink, and be
merry. Yeah, you do you.
You do you.
YOLO.
That's right, YOLO.
Yeah.
But yeah. But no, I love Ricky Gervais. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's great.
And
is he promoting? Isn't he doing a movie?
Yep, the reason why. Yep,
the
reason why he was on the shows this past week is because in February, Life on the Road finally premieres on Netflix.
Oh wow, that's coming up pretty soon. I didn't realize it was right around the corner.
Yeah, so this is the unofficial Office spinoff.
Did I tell you that I finally watched the UK Office?
No,
I did that like months ago. I thought I told you.
No, you didn't tell me.
Yeah, I finally watched the UK Office.
What did you think?
It was really, really good.
Yeah, I like it better than the US Office a little bit.
So I wouldn't go that far. Well, I guess because I watched the US Office first and I was like really attached to those characters. But tonally, it's completely different.
Right.
But it's so much fun, you know, because it's so awkward.
Right.
The U.S. office is awkward, but like in a lovable way. The U.K. office is awkward and it's just
painful.
And it just lets it hang. And you're like, oh my God, please just like you want the scene to end because you're dying of embarrassment for the characters. And it lingers an extra second and a half.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what Ricky Gervais is good at.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais was so good at that. And it was surprising because the music thing was a very small part of it. Like, before I watched the series, I thought, like, oh, he must do it, like, all the time if he's doing, like, a whole, like, mockumentary about it. But it was, like, a very small part of his overall character, except for, like, the last episode.
Right.
Where he did, like, the record, tried to make the record or whatever.
Right.
But no, it was great. Yeah, I watched that, like, months and months ago. I thought I told you.
No, you didn't tell me.
No, I could have swore I told you.
No, you did not tell me.
Well, I did. I watched it. It was fantastic.
You're keeping things from me over there.
I apologize.
You and your Bill Belichick love nest.
Love nest? Wow, okay.
You're holding back. Why aren't you telling me things?
Because I share myself with Bill Belichick now. my love nest with the Patriots. That's right. After games, they come back to the love nest.
Yeah.
Come back, my little birdies.
Yeah, and you all snuggle with your Super Bowl rings.
The Super Bowl rings keep you very warm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
Lombardi trophies are good insulation.
Okay, yeah. All right. I don't know. Part of me is starting to think you're selling out on me.
I've always, other than the year that they beat the Eagles... I've always had a respect for the way the Patriots conduct football business and the way they are just so professional on the field, and they just get the job done.
All right.
But anyway, it's not the sports sampler
anymore. No, it's the entertainment entree. And,
but why do you hate them?
God, because they just win all the time.
So why does that make you hate them, though?
Because I want to see some variety, but whatever. We need to move on. We're not the sports sampler. You're pissing me off over there with your love nest.
Okay. It's not a love nest. It's a deep respect and admiration.
Yeah, okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to go upstairs to your room.
Look.
And I'm gonna do a visual check to see if you have any
all
sort
Patriots.
Of...
Yeah, it's all Patriots.
You probably have blue Patriots banners all over the wall.
Everywhere.
You have four imitation Lombardi trophies.
They're like little like blow-up Lombardi trophies. Yeah. I do have an autographed photo of Brian Dawkins, though.
That's good.
Yeah. So, repping Philly. It's the one Philadelphia Eagles thing in a sea of Patriots.
Yep.
No, I kid. All right.
Well, I'll go.
Anyway.
I'll go check it later when you're not looking. but we have to go into the entertainment entree. We have to move away from sports. No more sports.
Okay.
Moving into the entertainment entree, and this is a good segment to do it with, folks. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mike, what the hell's going on in the world of entertainment?
All right, well, I will tell you what's going on in the world of entertainment.
My God, what the hell's going on tonight?
So, first off, what's going on in entertainment is this movie that just sounds amazing. It only has a limited release, but if you can find a movie theater or maybe a streaming service that has this movie, I highly recommend you go check it out. It's a very powerful new documentary called I Am Not Your Negro. Samuel L. Jackson narrates this powerful documentary based on the writings of James Baldwin about the lives and assassinations of Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr. It's an examination of race in America using the author's original words and archival footage that connects the civil rights movement to the recent Black Lives Matter movement. Has a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes with let me check the average rating, 8.9 average rating from 33 critics. So it's doing very well so far. Very, very powerful subject matter. If you watch the trailer, it looks like it's a very serious movie, but I think a very important movie, a very interesting historic movie. So definitely go check it out if you're into the history and into the more serious subject matter. That's I Am Not Your Negro, hitting theaters in a limited release this week. On TV, if you want something a little more light, a little more action-oriented, there's a couple of comic book superhero shows premiering this week on television. First up, Powerless is a new comedy premiering Thursdays on NBC. It stars Vanessa Hudgens, of course, of Disney fame, and Danny Pudi, who was in Community way back when. And it's about this team of people who help protect civilians from the unintended damages caused by superhero fights. It's set in the DC universe, but it's only going to show like minor DC characters. But I love the new angle of focusing on a civilian team protecting civilians as the world around them sort of crumbles as these superheroes, you know, fight on top of the skyscrapers overhead.
Destroying building syndrome?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that might be in reaction to that. You know, something that people don't think about. Like, oh, cool, the superheroes won. But, like, these cities are completely devastated.
Yeah.
But this is somehow a comedy as well. So really interesting perspective with this new show. Definitely go check it out. Thursdays on NBC. If you want something a little more serious in the sci-fi superhero realm, check out Legion, premiering Wednesday, February 8th on FX. It's about the son of X-Men founder Professor Xavier, who was diagnosed with schizophrenia at a young age and placed in various psychiatric hospitals all his life until someone confronts him with the idea that there might be more to him than a mental illness. This is notable because the showrunner is Noah Hawley, who's the creator and writer of the hit FX series Fargo. So it's got some really big talent in the production staff. Right now it has an 84 on Metacritic. It's more of a dramatic look at the superhero universe, obviously set in the Marvel universe, but not explicitly about the Marvel superheroes. More of this personal journey of this quote-unquote mutant who doesn't realize he's a mutant. So it looks to be very, very interesting. Definitely go check out Legion on Wednesday, February 8th on FX. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right. right, Mike. Thank you for your segment this week in entertainment. We got one news story to hit on in the entertainment world, and it's kind of appropriate. We're in the middle of awards season. We covered the Golden Globes. There was the Screen Actors Guild Awards over the weekend. And at the end of February will be the Oscars. But we have an interesting little mini controversy, I think, from the world of James Cameron.
Yeah, so mini controversy is a good way to put it, because I don't know if it's a full-blown controversy, but no. He made some statements that were a little inflammatory. So, you know, James Cameron's been busy making a whole bunch of sequels for Avatar. I think four more sequels, according to this article. Yeah, I know, like we needed four more.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because some of his comments relate to that. So he was giving an interview about his recent National Geographic documentary, Atlantis Rising. And in the middle of that conversation, it somehow got on the subject of the Oscars. And James Cameron happened to offer some interesting quotes about what he thought about the Academy and their failure to recognize big blockbuster movies. So I have a couple of choice quotes here that I'd like to read to everyone. This first one, he's talking about the Academy not recognizing the more commercially successful films. So he says, quote, "There have been a few times throughout the history of the Oscars where a wildly popular film was well received, but your typical year, the Academy takes the position of, it is our patrician duty to tell the great unwashed what they should be watching. And they don't reward the films that people really want to see, that they're paying money to see. And they're telling them, yeah, you think you like that, but what you should be liking is this. And as long as the Academy sees that as their duty, don't expect high ratings. Expect a good show and do that duty, but don't whine about your ratings. Titanic was a very unusual case. I'm not saying it's a better film than films before or after, or it was necessarily a better year in general, but it was a film that made a boatload of money and got a lot of nominations. The next time we see that, we'll see ratings go up. It's that simple." Okay. So, that was one statement he made. And then a little bit later, he expands on that, specifically mentioning what he thinks is a bias in the Academy towards or against technologically inclined films. And he says regarding that, quote, "There's definitely a bias. The Academy still has a majority of its members that are actors. Look, I love actors. And that's how they think. They're generally skeptical of technology. So when they see a film that's too dependent on visual effects, they say, oh, that's not an acting movie. Well, Titanic was a visual effects movie in sheep's clothing, you know. Yes, it had visual effects, but it was about the people and about the story. The visual effects were eclipsed by that. If you do a movie like Avatar, the effects are right out front. And even though I felt the acting was just as good and the story we were telling was just as good, they're not going to reward it in the same way. That's just a fact of life. I had made a decision way before Titanic that I wasn't going to serve two masters. I was going to put my visual cinema first. Even though I've spent an awful lot of time on scripts and on performance, I still love doing big visual cinema. I doubt I'll ever get nominated again, but if I did, I'm probably going to lose to a Woody Allen movie. That's the nature of it. So you don't try to serve two masters."
Wow,
so,
all right.
Yeah. So
that was like a book.
It really, long, long rambling quotes and, you know, toting his own movies above all else, of course, Titanic and Avatar, which are the best movies of all time. Slash sarcasm, because I don't think so. But what do you think about these quotes? Do you think that Cameron has some truth to these statements, or do you think he's just a little bit salty and bitter about Avatar?
I think it's a little bit of both. Because first off, I can see where he's obviously putting his movies first. I know he felt Avatar was better than Titanic or whatever, and he felt like that should have cleaned up at the Oscars when it debuted and was nominated for all those awards. So I bet you he does have a chip on his shoulder at the Academy.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, he mentions it explicitly.
Right. So I think half of it is he's angry that they don't consider his films to be worthy of achievement. But the other half, I think he does have a solid point. A lot of the movies that get nominated are the fall dramas.
Yeah,
the summer blockbusters never get nominated for the big heavy hitting categories.
Yeah, do you think that they should be nominated?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if a movie is that great, then why not?
Yeah. So I sort of get what Cameron is saying, and I've always been a believer that you have to look at, because it's entertainment, right? So you have to look at both the artistic quality of it, but is it entertaining? I just always think back to the years like Shakespeare in Love and the silent black and white movie The Artist, you know, Titanic. I know you like Titanic.
Yeah,
but Titanic.
Hey, yeah, I like Titanic.
No, you like Kate Winslet.
And I like Kate Winslet. Hey, there's nothing wrong with
Kate Winslet.
There's nothing wrong with Kate Winslet.
True.
She is a goddess.
She is. Shall not sully the name of Kate Winslet.
Yes.
But no, I look back to movies like Shakespeare in Love and The Artist, and I had to think, maybe the Academy got it wrong. Maybe they're concerned too much with the artsy-fartsy and not so much with what was entertaining this year.
Yeah.
Okay? It's tough to strike that balance. I think James Cameron maybe is taking it a little too far.
I think he's taking it a little bit more personal.
He is.
I mean, for one thing, he didn't reference anybody else's movies.
Yeah. Well, and the article from Collider.com points us out that he seems to completely ignore the fact that Gravity and Mad Max Fury Road both snagged nominations. They were both, you know, blockbuster CG heavy films. But he does have a point that, you know, you see a lot of like Philomena or The Theory of Everything, you know, Shakespeare in Love.
Well, Philomena was actually really good.
I actually haven't seen Philomena,
yeah.
So I can't.
That one was actually really good. I would not lump that into this group.
Well, I'm just saying it's, you know, how many people actually went to see it in theaters, though? You know, I guess that's the argument, is that the Academy ignores the big blockbuster commercial successes in favor of these smaller movies,
right?
When sometimes, now I've always said the commercial success doesn't necessarily mean a movie's bad. You know, sometimes people conflate the two. They think, oh, if it's really popular in terms of making money, like Transformers, it must be bad. That's not always the case.
No. It just bothers me that a summer blockbuster is usually just written off. You know?
Yeah. It's just like, oh, it's a popcorn munching action flick.
For me, a personal vendetta would be Inception.
Yeah.
I loved Inception. I think Inception's one of the best movies made in the last 10 years.
Now,
it surprised me that it didn't have more success at the Oscars.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
But it never made a realistic run at it.
No, not at all.
And I always felt like it was because it came out in the summer. It was viewed as like a, you know, just like
as,
popcorn.
As a summer blockbuster, yeah.
Right.
So I'm trying to go back and find the year that Inception came out and find some of the other movies that it was nominated with. Okay, so here's the year Inception came out. Let's break this down. The King's Speech won that year.
Yeah, which,
127 Hours, has sort of like disappeared from cinema history. You never hear about the movie.
No.
Black Swan.
Well, that Black Swan stayed around.
Black Swan was very good. The Fighter.
Yeah.
It was good, but it wasn't spectacular.
Okay.
At least I didn't think so. Inception, of course, yeah. Amazing. The Kids Are All Right, a smaller indie type movie. The Social Network, that was okay. Toy Story 3, personal favorite there.
Yeah,
in addition to Inception,
I know you're not going to argue against that.
True Grit, it was a good movie. And Winter's Bone, it was you know, a good movie. I didn't see it. I didn't seem that spectacular to me. But Inception, you know, I think out of all those movies, Inception, other than Toy Story 3, had the No, I'm saying, when you look at that list, the two movies that had the biggest impact that are still resonant in movie history, in pop culture, in moviegoers' minds are Inception and Toy Story 3. Am I right or am I wrong?
I don't know about Toy Story 3.
Everybody loves Toy Story 3.
I think you just have a person. I don't know.
No.
It gets brought up
all the time on the internet, on Reddit.
But definitely Inception.
Definitely Inception.
Definitely Inception. So I feel like there is some truth to what Cameron is saying, because you do get shunned a little bit that you came out as a summer blockbuster film, you know? You don't get the class of, you know, of a fall drama. It's almost like a prerequisite now. If you want a film to be successful at the Academy Awards, it has to come out in the fall.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I'm going to take a shot at Cameron here, because I feel like, you know, he uses Titanic as an example, but Titanic was clear Oscars bait. It is a doomed romance set in a
historical event.
Seeing a historical event, it is clear Oscars bait. So you can't even say Titanic is an exception. Titanic is unusual in that it was commercially successful and critically successful. No, it was Oscar bait.
Well,
it was like the theory of everything. Well, it is Oscars bait.
But I think he's also referencing to the fact that he was so financially successful and came out during the summer.
It was very financially successful.
I mean, he does have a point. When's the last time a big summer blockbuster really cleaned up at the Academy Awards?
Well, not a summer blockbuster, but Reddy, you're not going to like this. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Big blockbuster.
Was that
hugely commercially successful.
Was that summer?
Not summer, fall. But it's a fantasy action movie. It is the third movie of a fantasy action trilogy, and it won, I think it was like 7 or 8 awards, including Best Director, Best Picture, and Best Adapted Screenplay. And the only reason it didn't acting awards is because it's an ensemble cast. It doesn't have lead or supporting actors and actresses. So that's the only other example I can think of that won relatively recently. I'm talking 13, 14 years ago.
But I think it's fair to say that it's a rarity.
It is definitely a rarity.
And I think what James Cameron's trying to say is, why is it a rarity? It shouldn't be. If it's fair, it should be like an equal playing time. It should be, if it's what you
I
said,
agree.
13 years.
I what was your since time 2003. Period? I think it was like 13 years. I think
so. Shouldn't it be like 5, 6? You know.
Yeah. I think that there are big, you know, not necessarily summer blockbuster, but big blockbuster movies that deserve to be recognized. Should we go over? I pulled up the list of top grossing movies and the top rated movies on Rotten Tomatoes from 2016. Do you want to compare the lists and see what we think about these top grossing movies and whether or not they should be in the Academy Awards and compare them to those movies that have been nominated?
All right, let's do real quick. Yeah.
So the big one that jumps out to me, the top grossing movie worldwide in 2016, Captain America: Civil War. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 90% fresh rating,
and I enjoyed that.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's nowhere to be seen.
Right.
Do you think that's a snub just because it's a summer superhero movie?
I would say so. Yeah. You know, it's summer. It's comic books. Those nerds. Get him out of here. Get him out of this top class event.
But this is the thing. When you're talking about best picture, what is your definition of best picture? Because in my mind, if you're the top grossing movie and you still manage to get a rating like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, I mean, that's the best of both worlds right there. The movie was funny. It had a lot of action. It was dramatic. It drew the crowds and the critics enjoyed it. I don't really see a reason why it shouldn't be nominated for Best Picture.
Right.
Using those criteria.
I don't either.
It seems like we're in agreement there. Yeah. Captain America: Civil War should have...
I don't see why it didn't get any nomination, something.
Yeah.
Throw him a bone.
Let me see if it got anything.
It probably got like one of those visual effects.
Nothing.
No, it didn't get...
I'm doing a quick...
I bet you got like one of those like dinky visual awards or something.
No.
Really?
No, I just did Control F on the Wikipedia page. Nothing. Nothing. Civil War. No. Let me try Captain America.
Yeah. All right. Well.
No. Yeah. Nothing.
You idiots.
Absolutely snubbed from the entire
Academy.
From the entire thing. Not even visual effects. It made $1.5 billion worldwide and still had a 90% in Rotten Tomatoes.
But it's probably viewed as a summer blockbuster popcorn run-of-the-mill movie.
Yeah.
So no nomination for you.
That annoys me. That annoys me because I think we talked about this last week.
And I think that's what Cameron is trying to point out.
Yeah. And I think to that effect he does have a point.
He would like to switch Captain America with Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar 2 through 17.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a limit.
Titanic 5.
So wait, let's talk about Avatar. Let's go back to the Avatar Academy Awards. It lost to The Hurt Locker, of course, directed by his ex-wife Catherine Bigelow, right? Do you think that the Avatar should have gotten more respect in those Academy Awards, or do you think that was the right call?
In the Best Picture category? Actually, no. My favorite movie that year in 2009 was Up in the Air. I loved that.
I think the Academy got it wrong, but I don't think Avatar deserved it either.
Right. If you haven't seen the movie Up in the Air, I think that's George Clooney's best work. And I think he was nominated for Best Actor, and he didn't win for that either, which I was disappointed in. I thought that was going to be his chance to officially lock one in his acting belt. But there were other good movies out that year, too. Inglourious Bastards, Precious, Up. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about a tearjerker, Up.
Up was amazing. I mean, there were so many. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So, okay. So, and this is what I don't get. So, District 9 was nominated that year, too. That was another big blockbuster sci-fi action movie nominated for Best Picture. I think James Cameron's just a little salty that Avatar lost.
I think he's using the problem to push his agenda and
probably,
his movies.
Probably.
But I don't think that takes away from the fact that there is actually a problem
there is actually,
with the Oscars.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just don't. They don't respect summer blockbuster movies anymore.
No, they don't. I think that James Cameron is going about it the wrong way because it's clear, like you said, he does have an agenda. And he's using the problem to push,
yeah.
You know, oh, Avatar's amazing, right. Avatar's amazing.
It's all a scheme to dismiss my precious Avatar.
Avatar was good. Don't get me wrong. It was a good movie. It was an enjoyable movie. I love the universe they created. The visual effects were good.
A little formulaic.
But you know what? It was easy to get its hooks into you. But here's the thing. I think District 9 was better. I think Up was better. I think Up in the Air was better. I think Inglourious Bastards was better. You know? So I don't know if personally he has a leg to stand on. I think other films maybe
right.
have a
other
leg to
other films
stand.
Have
yeah,
leg
Captain
to stand
America
on.
Civil War has a leg to stand on. District 9 has a leg to stand on, not Avatar, if
yeah.
that makes sense.
I would agree with that as well.
So of course the flip side of this is that a lot of the big blockbuster movies are actually crap. Batman versus Superman. I know you enjoyed it, but
yeah,
it got critically panned.
Right.
Fantastic Beasts did okay critically. I saw it. It was all right. It was like a 7 out of 10. But here's another one. Deadpool. Should Deadpool have been nominated?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah?
That was another one that walked that fine line between drama, comedy, thriller.
So here's the thing. When you look at Deadpool, it pushed narrative boundaries, too. Because it had a lot of fourth wall breaking
right.
stuff. It was very aware that it was a movie.
Yeah.
Right? It was like almost like a meta-narrative.
Yeah.
So why is that not nominated when it's pushing narrative boundaries, it succeeds commercially, and it did very well critically?
Because it's a comic movie blockbuster. That's it.
Do you think that this trend will ever end?
No.
Hold on. Once this generation gets weaned out of the Academy, do you think that a newer generation will bring in some of these
well,
types of movies?
At that rate, you're talking about, I think, 30 years down
30
the road.
30 years?
Yeah. Because all the way it is right now is the way it's going to stay for at least 15, 20 years. It is. That's the way they like the system set up. They know it's the only way that they're going to be able to push these kind of highbrow but kind of slow dramas
right.
to people in the theaters.
And I mean, so here's the thing. I do think that the Academy Awards does a good job of raising awareness for these movies, because like last week we were like, oh, you know, we hadn't thought of this movie, or you know, this one passed us by. So it does a good job of that, but I think that there needs to be a balance.
Yeah,
there needs to be a balance between movies like La La Land and Manchester by the Sea and movies like Deadpool and Captain America to represent what all of cinema is doing. Now I'm not saying put Transformers in Best Picture.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know, no, I picked very specific examples because the rest of the list is crap. Suicide Squad, X-Men Apocalypse, Kung Fu Panda 3, Warcraft, Jason Bourne. You know, none of these movies deserve to be up there. But every once in a while, this Captain America, Rogue One, Deadpool, maybe they deserve to be up there.
Yeah.
Maybe not all three of them. Maybe one or two of them in addition to the others.
Well, that will be a trend that we have to keep an eye on with these Oscar nominations. And it is one that we will see play out at the end of February with
yes.
the Oscars coming up. So the circle isn't complete yet, but it will be at the end of February when we cover the Academy Awards.
The real question is, will Avatar 2 be nominated when that comes out?
Oh, God.
And what will James Cameron say then?
Yeah. Or Avatar 3000 or something.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
In 4D.
Yeah. But we'll find out then. But for now, that will end the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got your batch of odd news that you need to hear. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. We're with the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount of beer.
Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
I'm drunk right now. It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. Mike can join his magnetic computer.
Well, I found out that I can like flick my pen as it's attached to the computer screen, and it just wiggles up and down.
So there you go.
Mike. So I'm just gonna be doing this. I'm basically a cat at this point.
Yeah,
just playing with this whatever this is.
You should get a cat, Mike.
I love cats.
Why not?
Because I don't think any of my family likes cats, and me and JB are allergic.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But wait, do you have allergies?
I have dust allergies. I don't have... Yeah.
Yeah, I have, like, all allergies. Like, super allergies.
Super allergies.
Well, when I was a kid and I got the test, it was just like, oh, you're allergic to everything. Just everything. Like everything that blooms, that has pollen, dust, pets.
Everything that's nice with the world.
Everything that's nice, yeah. I'm basically allergic to rainbows and kittens and puppies and everything.
Yeah. That's
flowers and bees. And
Well, this explains why you're such a Patriots fan. All right. Wow. Let's move on.
Wow. That's the theme of the episode. Like, my love of the Patriots and your hate of the Patriots.
Yeah. So, there we
go. Come to the dark side, Rich. Revel in the Super Bowl victories.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that. But I will revel in our next segment because it is time for some crazy true news. Mike, you love it, so
I love this segment. It's time for the Wacky and the Wild non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news time.
All right, folks, it's that time of the episode where we get into the non-fortune cookie odd news. For those of you that aren't familiar with the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to it. He finds these weird stories, keeps them hidden from me, so I've never seen them before. All my reactions are my gut, genuine reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started.
All right. First story.
Take me away.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to New Hampshire in this first story here.
Now, we very rarely go to New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's a very small state.
Yeah.
We usually don't go there, but this is too good of a story to pass up.
Okay.
Police in New Hampshire said that two Burger King workers were arrested after being caught for distributing marijuana to customers.
Okay.
Epping Police. Epping is the town. Epping Police.
Epping. That's Epping. A weird town name.
Yeah, E-P-P-I-N-G, Epping. Epping Police said that investigators learned that customers at the Burger King drive-thru were asking employees, quote, if the nasty boy was working. And if confirmed,
the nasty boy.
And if confirmed, they requested their fries, quote, extra crispy. That's right. Nasty. Nasty boy. Boy.
Yeah.
Get some Janet Jackson in you. Yeah. Nasty boy.
Nasty boy. Nasty boys. That's so dumb.
After the customers asked for extra crispy French fries, they would then receive a coffee cup filled with marijuana.
That's not fries. You could have been, like, they ask for fries and you give them coffee.
Specifically extra crispy.
Extra crispy. The point is, if you're trying to cover what you're doing, if somebody asks for fries, give them fries and just put, like, a little baggie in the bottom of them. Why a coffee cup?
It's a new procedure.
It's a new procedure. Fries in your coffee.
That's how Nasty Boy handles it.
Okay. Nasty Boys, can you mean your nasty groove?
I love this. Pulling out some Janet Jackson.
That's great.
The nasty boy in question was identified as 20-year-old Garrett Norris.
Norris, okay.
Norris and his shift leader, Megan Dearborn.
Dearborn?
Dearborn, yeah.
Okay. It's almost like The Elder Scrolls Skyrim, the Dragonborn. Except this is like the less threatening Dearborn.
Dearborn. They were both arrested after police conducted an undercover buy using the extra crispy fries code.
Tricky.
Yep. According to the Epping Police Chief Michael Wallace, quote, we obtained enough evidence that pointed to the employee was selling marijuana through the drive-thru. It was substantiated with the sting operation. We went in later that evening and arrested him and the shift manager. We don't know how long this operation has been going on. Unfortunately, Dearborn claims that she was unaware of the nasty boy's action.
Well, she could be. Who knows?
Despite being the one who took the order at the window.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. She claims that she didn't know what was going on. Since she took the order, and gave them the food in question, Dearborn was charged with the crime as well. Norris was charged with possession of a controlled drug with intent to distribute. Dearborn was charged with conspiracy to distribute a controlled drug and unlawful possession of alcohol by a minor. Oh, interesting.
Throwing that into the mix.
Interesting. Sure, why not? Yeah, Garrett was 20 years old. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. A youthful entrepreneur cut down in his prime.
I thought this was America.
Yeah, all right. He was going to be the nasty boy of Burger King. Oh, yeah.
It's a shame. A nasty boy cut down in his prime.
Right. He was going to be a star of Burger King.
I don't know if Burger King wants him to be the star.
Yeah.
Do you like your fries extra crispy? Come to Burger King.
And see the nasty boy.
See the nasty. Yeah. You know what? That would be a better mascot than that creepy king thing they have.
Yeah. I don't really like the king guy.
Do you remember the commercial where he like woke up in bed next to somebody?
Yeah.
And like handed them a breakfast sandwich and the guy's like, oh, this is okay.
No, this is not okay. I do not need creepy Burger King. I would rather have crispy nasty boy.
You would rather have a nasty boy wake up in your bed next to
than creepy king guy.
Yeah, the creepy king guy was bad.
Yeah.
Nasty Boy should be the new mascot.
Yeah, why not?
This extra crispy fries.
He's very popular. Very popular. Everyone loves him.
And his special extra crispy fries.
Yeah. All right, how about we get to some Florida news?
All right, what do you got?
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I know how much you love weird excuses, so here we go. Police in Pensacola, Florida, arrested a 52-year-old man, Charles William Rawlerson, early Sunday morning after they got a call about a naked man in the car wash parking lot. Responding officers reported seeing Rawlerson standing around without pants, blaring music from his vehicle.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, sure. Florida Sunday morning. Why not?
Why is he standing outside blaring music? Why isn't he sitting inside the car?
He's enjoying the music. I don't know.
Okay. He needs to have all his clothes off so he can really feel the music.
Yeah. Didn't you say you felt that at the auto show?
At the auto show, you can feel it in your body.
Yeah, so that's
you know, rattling your bones.
You want to feel it all around.
All around. Yeah, he didn't want to have his clothes obstructing him.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
When deputies asked Rawlerson to put clothes on, this is his response.
Oh, this should be good.
Quote, "I don't have my pants with me. They ran off by themselves faster than I did."
My pants!
Yeah, like they're a living thing.
They're a living, yeah.
And they ran faster than he did.
Yeah.
Bye-bye!
Obviously.
Bye! See you guys later.
Come back soon! Oh boy!
Wow, that's...
I'm not sure what to make of that.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like, if you're a cop, how do you respond to that? You're like, oh, that sure sucks. You know?
Oh, those crafty pants.
Those crafty pants. Yeah. Jeans are getting smarter by the day.
Yeah, smart jeans.
Smart jeans.
See, you're supposed to put them on and then activate them, and then you run really fast.
Yeah, that's what the secret to running fast is. It's the jeans or whatever pants you're wearing.
When
self-running pants, that's creepy.
When the deputies did not believe that the jeans could have defied the laws of physics, they then asked Rawlerson to get in the police car. Rawlerson then threatened the threatened the officer on site with a screwdriver from his car.
Oh, no.
And,
that's bad.
Yeah, that's not good. It's never good to threaten a cop.
No.
At that point, the other officer pulled out a taser stun gun and shocked him. So.
Well, that ended quickly.
Bam! Done.
Don't bring a screwdriver to a taser fight.
Yeah. You want to see something else fast? Paulerson was charged with aggravated assault on an officer, which is a second-degree felony. So he's
all that
have...
for, you know, his runaway pants.
Yeah. He's on jail on a $500 bond. So
that's it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? You
why
know,
not?
Just a second-degree felony.
No big deal.
Yeah. We'll see you later.
I love
Hopefully
that.
You get your pants back.
Yeah. Where did his pants go?
Yeah. Where as like, a pair of pants, where do you go?
Do the pants have errands to run?
Yeah. Oh,
man. They have to go to, like, the pants store, you know?
I got to go to the computer lab. I got to check my Facebook.
You just see a pair of pants, like, using the mouse and the keyboard.
Yeah. Jeans. That's it. That's all it says on the Facebook.
Jeans.
Jeans. You have a friend request. Your jeans.
There's, like, a status update. Oh, Bob farted in me today. So annoyed.
This sucks.
Oh. He had beans for lunch.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's probably one of his posts too.
What, the pair of jeans?
Yeah.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
You know what? Why not? People make Facebook pages for their pets and their babies. Why don't you make a Facebook page for your pair of jeans?
Yeah, sure.
You know what? I bet you there are Facebook pages for jeans.
They're with you through thick and thin. Why not?
Well, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look up jeans on
and
Facebook.
And one day you're going to wake up and they're not going to be there anymore. Because he has to find a better body than you. Your person is not going to create a social media page for your pair of pants.
I'm trying to search Facebook for jeans.
Just jeans in general.
Just jeans. But you know what? There's a lot of people named Jean, so it's not working.
Oh, like Billie Jean or something.
What if I look up pants?
Yeah, look up pants.
Let me see. Pants. People. I want to see if there's like a Facebook page for like a pair of pants. No, there's just people with the last name Pants. What would you do if you had the last name Pants? Hi, I'm Bob Pants.
Hi, I'm Shirt Pants.
I'm Shirt Pants. What if your name was Jean Pants?
Billy Jean Pants.
All right, hold on. I'm going to look up Jean Pants.
I think you would have to go Billy Jean Pants.
I'm going to look up Jean Pants, see if there's people. Oh, I found a Facebook page, Jean Pants. It's just a picture of a pair of jeans.
Yes.
I found it.
Yeah, we have to go friend him.
This is amazing.
Is he Billy Jean?
That's just, Jean Pants. Billy Jean Pants. That would be amazing.
Oh.
Okay. There's no information, though, on the about page.
I want to know more about Mr. Jean Pants.
Wow. Somebody took... People have thought of everything on the internet.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, what a novel idea. Jean Pants. There's actually a lot of Jean Pants. It's not that original. Oh, this pair of Jean Pants went to Purdue University. Studied at... Hold on, wait. Wait. Jean Pants studied at Purdue University, went to the Hill School, lives in Middleton, Delaware. Huh.
Oh, we'll have to meet him.
Yeah. This is...
Okay.
What? Back in 2012, they posted, I need advice for prom. Do you guys like this dress? Jean Pants needs input. LOL. Graduated from Purdue University. This is amazing. This is so dumb, but it's amazing. Can you believe this is a thing?
Okay.
You don't know what to say. You're like, whatever. I have another story to get to. You don't care. How could you not care about Jean Pants, Rich?
I do care about Jean Pants. Especially, I want to know where Jean Pants went to in this story.
Well, Purdue University.
Oh, he went right to class.
Just straight to class. That's why they were running. They were late to class.
Yeah. Knew this guy was a loser. I need to go.
Oh, my gosh. But to get back to the story at hand, I want to know where the pants actually were. And, you know, putting aside the running away thing, that's funny. But where were his pants? Did he leave the house without pants?
Sure, I guess. He went, decided to go around town Sunday morning.
No pants.
It's a regular Sunday morning in Florida.
Just airing it out. You know, Florida gets kind of humid.
Yeah.
Except not in January, I guess.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
Another Florida story for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
This one's interesting to imagine. A well-known Tallahassee pastor was forced to flee naked after a husband came home early and found him having sex with the man's wife.
Wow.
Yeah. The priest getting on.
Wow. Oh. That's awesome. I mean, I'm going to stand by that statement. That's awesome.
The scandal broke actually during the same week that Simmons and the church were celebrating the 11th anniversary of his leadership there.
Oh.
And he was scheduled to hold a signing of his first book coming out, quote, I Need a Man, according to the website's description, is his first book that offers, quote, a fresh perspective on the issues of godly manhood and mentoring. Well, that's one way to there get it done go. Is sleep with someone's wife. Woo!
What was the pastor's name?
The pastor's name was, Father Simmons.
I'm going to look up the book.
Father Simmons, and the book is I Need a Man.
Jermaine Simmons?
I think so.
Okay, I think I found the book.
According to a police report, officers went to the Siena Square Apartments in the middle of the afternoon after a woman called to report that her husband was angry and had a handgun
after
he encountered his wife and Simmons having sex in their daughter's bedroom.
Oh,
that's not cool.
No, that's not good.
Oh,
that poor daughter. She's like, what the hell?
Yeah, what's going on?
Why my bedroom?
Yeah, you have three bedrooms.
Wow. This is getting crushed with Amazon reviews. 2 out of 5 stars.
The man came home early after the school called him to pick up his sick son. According to the woman, Simmons came out to discuss starting a business and providing less fortunate kids with clothes. But after one thing led to another, they ended up in bed together.
Wait. They started talking about a business to help unfortunate kids with clothes.
That's why Simmons was over.
And they ended up banging.
Yeah, hey, you know.
Hey.
I know we're doing some good work here with the kids, but, you know, you want to make a kid of our own?
Wow. You want to make a...
How does that go into just sex?
We need to do some market research. I think we should have a kid. That's a really bad way to do market research because, you know, after the initial act, you got to wait 9 months and you got to wait for the kid to grow up a little bit to test the clothes, you know? And, oh, that's just terrible. I want to know how talking about kids' clothing gets hot and heavy.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man, look at that. Look at that jumper for that little kid. Ooh. I don't know.
Wow.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's impossible. How do you make...
I don't know.
How do you make that sexy?
But it
did. Look at that. Look at that Cars t-shirt.
Love.
Oh, yeah.
Love has no bounds. You don't
love
know.
Knows no bounds.
Right. You don't know. I don't know how it happened, but it did. After the husband interrupted the tryst, he screamed, "I'm going to kill you."
Well, that's not very Christian-like.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
See, if the pastor was smart, he would have been like, "Tisk, tisk." That's very unchristian-like. And he would have immediately said, "We should go to confession."
That's when the man reached for his handgun. Simmons then fled the apartment naked.
Did the man have the handgun on him?
Yes.
So he walks into this house and he's just got
into his own house.
He's just carrying his gun around for no reason. Okay. What state was this in?
Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You forgot there. Yeah, it's Florida.
The priest and the wife probably had handguns on them, too.
Simmons then fled the apartment naked and jumped over a nearby fence. Wow. So he's very athletic, too.
He's an athletic pastor.
The husband collected Simmons' clothes that he left, his wallet, and his car keys.
Uh-oh.
And threatened to drop them off publicly at the church. He also threatened to expose Simmons on Facebook.
Well, he's being exposed through this news story,
right.
So...
The wife told police her husband never threatened her, and she declined to press charges. The pastor also declined to press charges as well, so...
Why not? Why shouldn't he have pressed charges? The guy tried to kill him with a handgun.
Yeah, but, you know, he was caught in a compromising situation there.
Yeah, well, charging the person isn't going to change that.
But
just own it. Just be like, yeah, okay. I banged your wife. You're going to jail, so I can continue to bang her.
What chapter is that in the I Need a Man book about godly manhood and mentoring?
Chapter 69. that's so funny, though, that he talks about mentoring. Makes you think, what is he trying to teach them anyway? This is how you perform adultery.
This is how you score.
Find a married wife who's disappointed in her love life. Talk to her about children's clothing. And then make your move.
Pray to God and then make your move.
Pray to God. Dear God, help me seduce this married woman.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I don't know if God answers those prayers.
Yeah. All right, ready for our next story?
Let's do it.
Another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Northport, Florida man who went into a Walgreens to get his passport photo taken was identified by the same photo after he was reported to have later exposed himself in the same store to a woman. Yeah, right then and there.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The police arrested 36-year-old Jonah Almira and charged him with lewd and lascivious exhibition.
Ooh.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, big words there.
Ooh, big words.
I always like when they say lascivious.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't lewd cover it?
No, it doesn't. You need lascivious.
You need lascivious, too.
Police were alerted to Almira's alleged indecent exposure at the Walgreens when he was caught by an employee who claimed that he was exposing his penis. He had gone into the store to have his passport photo taken, but left it behind when he went to search for more things to shop for. Later on, Almira allegedly approached a woman walking with her toddler and he jumped out and exposed his penis through his pants zipper.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I don't know. I can't put my mind, I can't put myself in like these people's minds or shoes.
Oh, wait. There's a point here too that you'll like.
Okay.
The victim said the suspect then began touching himself and smiling at her.
Hi. Hey there.
Hey, what's up?
Oh my
well,
God.
It was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So he went there for a passport photo.
Yes.
Left the passport.
Yes.
Continued to shop.
Yep.
And then in the middle of shopping, he sees a woman. He's like, you know what? I think she needs to see my junk.
Yep. I might woo her.
Yeah. Just starts twirling it around. What did he think was going to happen? She's like, oh my God. I
have the vapors.
The what?
Just right then and there. Ooh, I have the vapors. Ooh. I need to go home with you immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Bring her. She's got her toddler with her. Oh, my gosh.
They talked about toddler clothing.
That's what it was.
There it was.
That's the connection.
There it is.
Children's clothing. I'm telling you guys.
Something about it.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
She told police that she yelled at the suspect and told him that he was being inappropriate. Police later found a man matching the suspect's description in the passport photo. They were able to use it to identify him as the suspect and were able to even find a receipt from the Walgreens that matched the time frame when the passport photo was taken.
So that's like a home run right there.
He was booked on a $13,000 bond. So
let me get this straight. The person earlier who had the second degree assault on a police officer,
$500. Yes.
This guy wiggles around his penis. And what was it, $1,300?
$13,000. Yeah.
This is what I don't understand. they just throw out numbers. They're like, what did you do? You were loitering? $50 million. Yeah. What's that? Double homicide? Like $1,000, I think, should cover it.
You're fine.
They just make up numbers.
Yeah.
It's just it's totally random. Totally random.
Yep.
But
so
I love this person's thinking, though, that he's just like, I'm shopping. He goes there for a, remember, passport photo.
Yeah.
You start your day, you go, passport photo. You leave that. You forget it at the passport place.
Whoops.
Whoops. Obviously not that important. You shop for a while, and then you decide, you know what, I need to show somebody my penis. It's that
this
magnificent.
Beautiful.
It must
woman.
Be shared.
Oh, boy.
It was probably the children's
shopping
clothing.
Shopping at a Walgreens.
Walgreens and children's clothing. It just gets people going.
Apparently.
I'm surprised people just don't like have massive orgies in Walgreens. I don't know how they resist the urge. They step in the door. They see children's clothing. They just go wild.
Oh, you know, you got the condom aisle, over in the back.
Right there. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there you go.
Practice safe sex.
There you go.
With your orgies at Walgreens.
With your orgies at Walgreens. Walgreens puts up on their little boards like orgy night every Tuesday.
But please stay safe.
But please stay safe. That's how you increase revenue, because you advertise orgies and then you sell a bunch of condoms and contraceptives. Perfect. Perfect.
Are you ready for another Florida story?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
What is this? It's all Florida news.
Yeah, another Florida story.
What is this,
here.
Four? Three? Four?
Four, yeah.
Wow.
This one's interesting. A South Florida rapper named Stitches was arrested after police found a gun and drugs in his car when he was stopped for parking in a handicapped spot. His real name, Philip Katsibanis.
Cat what?
Yeah.
Katsibanis.
Yeah.
That's a weird name.
Philip Katsibanis, also known as Stitches, was stopped after his Porsche was seen in a handicapped space without a permit outside a Whole Foods. Okay. Real tough. I'm going to shop at Whole Foods.
This story is so weird.
This is gangsta. Right here. Whole
this
Foods.
This is gangsta.
Kale, mother effer. Kale.
I can't rap, or else I would like do like a rap song. Yo, this kale ain't stale. These bitches love these Stitches. I don't know.
Organic in the house.
Oh, Oh, man. Yeah, he totally loses all cred by shopping at Whole Foods.
Right. A Miami Beach police officer found a Glock handgun inside the vehicle after Katsibanis denied having any firearms. The rapper apologized for not disclosing the guns. He believed that police asked him if he had a gun on him, not in his car. Whatever. Ooh. That's still iffy.
Yeah, still iffy.
They then searched the rest of the car, and that's when they found a jar of marijuana in the trunk.
A jar.
A neat little jar.
Well, you know, you gotta keep, well, he shops at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So
it's gotta be kept neatly.
It's gotta be very neat, organized.
It's a Porsche too. I don't want, you know,
you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to mess, you spend a lot of money on that.
Yeah.
You know?
So nice neat little
jar. I've never heard of Stitches. Yeah. How does he have money to buy Porsches and shop at Whole Foods?
I don't know. Here's something
Stitches.
That, this is what I went yep. I got.
You have some.
Yep.
Okay.
As the rapper named Stitches, Katsibanis released his first album, quote, for drug dealers only, with the song, quote, Brick in Your Face, as the featured single. Are you ready to hear some of his work?
Oh, I'm sure this is just amazing Grammy Award winning stuff.
All right, here we go. This is the Florida rapper Stitches, who is arrested.
What is the song title? Brick in Your Face. Okay.
It's actually spelled Y-O. Brick in Your Face. Here we go. Let's play the song. I'll put that brick in your face. You better have my money when I come to collect. I got a bullet in the chamber and it's ready to eject. Pop, 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 pop. You ain't a man, you can't call it child neglect. Little boy, if you want to shoot a fade, I'll leave your face licking. You better not tell the police I did it. How did they get it? Always in the scene with the blood on my clothes. Then I go sell coke to your hoe. Sorry if you didn't know that your girl on my blow. One hit, not a girl on the pole. I love selling blow. There you go. That's
so,
little taste.
I think I missed that. Do you think he likes selling blow?
I think so.
Mm, okay.
And also references shooting people.
Yeah.
So I think the cops might have a reason to search for an armed firearm on him.
He's talking about smashing a brick in yo face.
Yeah.
Not your, but yo face.
Yo face.
Shooting people. He explicitly states he likes selling. Oh, sorry. Loves selling blow.
Yeah, that's right. Don't forget that.
That was the worst song I've ever heard.
What do you
it
mean?
It was so generic.
What? This wonderful rapper Stitches. Not a girl on the blow. I love selling blow. I love selling blow. He loves selling blow, man. He's an entrepreneur right here.
It's so bad. And he somehow made, maybe he didn't make enough money to buy a Porsche. Maybe he's just crazy.
I don't know. He's shopping at Whole Foods. That's pretty expensive.
So, yeah, I love that.
I love selling blow at Whole Foods.
Yeah, at Whole Foods, yeah. I love the incongruity. He's like brick in your face, love selling blow, and he's buying like kale chips, all natural peanut butter.
Gluten-free
peanut butter.
Excuse me, can I have the gluten-free tofu? I'll have a gluten-free tofu next to the side of
I'll have the gluten-free
brick of cocaine.
Gluten-free fair trade brown wild rice
and brick of cocaine.
I don't know why people who shop at Whole Foods sound like this, but this is what Stitches sounds like when he's not rapping. I love selling blow. Wow. Yeah, that's I love that contrast of like this
Mr. Rapper,
like the most stereotypical, like drugs and guns rapper, and he's buying stuff at Whole Foods.
Katsibanis was charged with having a concealed firearm along with two additional drug charges, so he's not out of the woods yet.
He should be charged for having stupid music. How much is his bail?
$51,000. Probably already out.
Probably.
I got one more story for you.
All right, what do you got?
Going to Illinois in our last story here.
All right.
An Illinois woman is jailed on a felony theft charge after she was caught stealing 31 boxes of Trojan condoms from a supermarket, according to cops.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
According to the police report, 25-year-old Sherrian Davis was arrested in the afternoon following a condom heist at Schnucks.
Condom heist?
Yeah. At Schnucks Market in Swansea, Illinois.
None of these words make any sense. Are you sure, like, Google autocorrect didn't have a seizure or something?
No, this is
a woman real. Stole, what was it, 35,000 condoms at what Schnucks?
31 boxes.
Oh, 31 boxes, sorry. Yeah.
35,000, no, 31 boxes.
31 boxes from Schnucks grocery store.
In Swansea, Illinois.
Swansea, Illinois. Okay. Are you telling me autocorrect didn't have?
No.
Okay.
Supermarket employees dialed 911 after they saw Davis, quote, furiously swiping the condoms. So imagine like a panicked woman.
Just grabbing all the boxes.
I need all of them.
I want to know what she was planning.
Right. I think this is the orgy you need this to go to.
So after she's done at Schnucks, she's going straight over to Walgreens.
To the orgy, yeah.
To the orgy, yeah.
I got cheaper condoms. Take that, Walgreens.
Oh, man.
When Davis spotted the cops coming into the supermarket, she ditched the Trojans and sought to flee.
Shucks.
But unfortunately, she was quickly apprehended. Davis was charged with felony retail theft. After refusing to allow jail personnel to photograph and fingerprint her, Davis was also charged with obstructing a police officer. A $50,000 bond.
What?
Davis... Yeah, she has a $50,000 bond on her. Davis decided to plead not guilty. Wow, so she's going to try and fight this. I wonder what her reasoning's going to be for this.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Probably insanity. Oh, what else can you go with?
Look, every Tuesday we have a big orgy outside of the Walgreens.
Would you rather me practice unsafe sex?
Yeah, all right. I'm trying to take care of me and my friends.
My many friends.
My 20 male friends.
God. Line up, boys! It's like, why, like, what? And why was she so angry, too?
Yeah, like, she's furious. Like, ah! Ah! The orgy's in 30 minutes! Ah!
Is everybody responsible for bringing, like something to the orgy and she got assigned to bring condoms?
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. Bob gets to bring solo cups and I got to bring condoms.
Yeah.
You know?
Jim,
why does Patricia get to bring napkins?
Jim gets to bring Pepsi.
Yeah, Pepsi brings a single 2-liter. Here you go, guys.
How you guys doing?
He brings a 20-ounce for himself. Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a really weird Walgreens orgy party.
Yeah, they're all bringing weird party favors.
Pepsi and all the condoms you could possibly need. That's all there is.
Bill walks in, I've got dessert. And it's like store-bought pies or something.
Or it's just whipped cream.
Or just whipped cream. Yeah, it could work.
Somebody has like the bag of pretzels, you know. But no bowl.
God damn it.
Come on. How are we going to put on a good orgy without a bowl?
How are we going to share all the pretzel bites without the sanity of a bowl? Oh, time for the orgy.
Time for, yeah. We're a sanitary people. Time for the mass orgy. Oh, God.
There you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we officially wrap it up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that when you're attending a Walgreens orgy, everybody has to bring something. So make sure if you're bringing pretzels, you bring a bowl. Okay? You can't just have pretzels strewn around on the table. Okay? You have to keep it nice and neat and orderly.
Yeah, bring something nice, too.
Yeah, this is a professional orgy, all
right? Right.
This isn't an amateur orgy.
Right. We're at Walgreens.
Yeah. Yeah, the official site of orgies. I'm sure Walgreens management would love to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, what? We didn't know that. Why weren't we invited?
After hours.
After hours, yes, of course. Oh, boy. But I also learned that Stitches, the amazing rapper from Florida, he's just this walking incongruity. You know, he's got this song, Brick in Your Face, you know, talking about how much he loves selling blow, and then he's buying whole grain, gluten-free, wild rice at Whole Foods, you know?
Yeah. He's a legend.
He's a legend. He may have lost a little bit of rep after recent events. But I think the most important thing that I learned is when you're trying to pick up women, children's clothing.
Yeah, apparently that's it.
Gets people going. If even a priest could score with a married woman when talking about children's clothing, anybody can score with anyone talking about children's clothing.
Yeah.
So the next time you're going out, just bring a kid's t-shirt with you. Just be like, oh, look what I got. Boom. Instantly in their pants.
Baby maker.
But speaking of clothing, I also learned about the amazing jean pants. This is a person who apparently graduated from Purdue University in 2012. This pair of jeans. Very, very good scholarly person. Graduated from Purdue University.
Kudos.
Good job, jean pants. But probably the most important thing, second most important thing, I have magnets in my computer
screen.
Yes,
that's right. There you go.
I was wondering if anybody was going to mention it, but yeah, I have magnets on my computer screen.
All right, there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Meadle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
No, either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! And another episode of the Chris Meadle Podcast in the books. Very jam-packed episode.
Yeah, really fun stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, jeans and kids' clothing and magnets. Oh, yeah, and the Super Bowl. You know, that
yeah.
stuff, too.
Yeah. So, hope you guys are going to have fun this weekend to watch the festivities on Sunday.
Go Patriots.
Yeah, okay. and there you go. That's our episode for this week. Thank you for tuning in to the Chris Meadle Podcast. If you've enjoyed what you heard, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Oh, Stitcher Stitches? There you go.
Is Stitches on Stitcher?
I don't know. We should check that out. But you know what is on Stitcher is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You can download, subscribe, listen to us on the go, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. So remember to get the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the Chris Meadle Podcast shrunk down to a 1 to 2 minute promo that you can listen to on the go for a quick laugh with friends and family. And maybe if the commercials get boring during Super Bowl, why not play it during the Super Bowl?
Oh, that's a perfect idea.
Yeah.
Just, I'm sure your friends and family will love that. Be like, hey, listen to this every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. The Chris Meadle Podcast is amazing. If you can't get enough of it, you know, all the different ways to share and get in touch with us, you can also get in touch with individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and let us know how your Super Bowl weekend's going.
Yeah, hashtag Patriots.
Or
hashtag Falcons.
Or just hashtag what the hell this Super Bowl's coming to. I don't know.
Why are you so disappointed in the Patriots? It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
We'll see. But folks, this has been good. This has been a good episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right, that's gonna do it for us for this week. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. The Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.